Alex Baker, Toby Lawrence is here. We are in Michigan for Gaydio in Michigan. We're here for a few days, taking in loads of stuff here in Michigan State, eventually ending up at Motor City Pride, which is Detroit's pride here in the state. And we're chatting to some of the guys that are here organizing it. What's your name, first of all?
Hi, I'm Dave Wade. I'm the chairperson of the festival.
Hi, I'm Chris Palm.
Okay, look, and how long have you been involved in Motor City Pride?
For 12 years I've been working with it. Started as a volunteer and became chairperson 8-9 years ago.
All right, so look, what does being chairperson of Motor City Pride mean in your day-to-day life? What's it like?
I do this as a volunteer, so it's bringing together a committee that works on the festival, working with the different areas of entertainment and security, promotions and sponsorships, so help coordinating and bringing all those things together so that we can host the festival each June.
Okay, look, so what have you got in store for us and indeed anyone else coming over to the state in terms of sort of lineup, entertainment? What is it that makes Detroit and Motor City Pride a little bit different to everywhere else?
It's more homegrown. We pride ourselves on all the local entertainment that we have at the festival. We have 5 stages of entertainment with people performing throughout the day. We bring in a couple headliners each year and then really fill in with people in local communities who are working to build their craft and to be well known out there.
And our diverse lineup of entertainment is fantastic. One of the things that I think is really unique to Motor City Pride, we have an entire underground dance club area. So we essentially build a dance club within the Pride celebration. It's fantastic. Beautiful lighting, great DJs. So you can really get that experience at a daytime outdoor festival.
And in terms of what Motor City Pride brings to the community here in Michigan, what sort of like projects does this help fundraise for and help the LGBT community?
With the proceeds from the festival, we help out a number of organizations in the area, Affirmations, Equality Michigan. We're working to provide more opportunities for youth to be able to participate and also to expose and get more nonprofit organizations involved. One of our themes of the organization is that we connect to one another. So by having over 140 different small businesses and nonprofits, members of the community can find other organizations to volunteer with, organizations to get different services to be able to learn from throughout the year.
You touched on music briefly and setting up a dance club in the midst of the festival. Obviously, Detroit's got a rich cultural history in terms of music genres. I'm thinking Motown, I'm thinking techno and stuff like that. Just tell us how those and those histories interact with the event.
I think you hit on a really good point. Detroit has a quite a diverse music scene, and I think that that's reflected in the festival, in our need to have 5 stages of entertainment. You know, that's an unusually large number for this type of festival, but that just reflects the diversity that we have and the need for us to be able to represent a myriad of genres and tastes that are out there. So we do a great job with that. This year, you mentioned Motown. We have Martha Reeves coming back. So certainly a bit of a great vintage act, if you will. We have a number of young up-and-coming DJs, which is exciting, representing, you know, certainly Detroit's amazing techno scene. So it's a great festival lineup.
Amazing.
Look, somebody's just started mowing the lawn, so that makes for great radio.
Yes.
To wrap this, just take off your organizer's hats for a second, guys. And as sort of residents, as folks from Detroit, tell us your own personal highlights of Motor City Pride since your first time going down to the festival.
To me, it's people who haven't really been out yet in the community or maybe haven't really expressed themselves that come to the festival. It's a place, a welcoming place for them to be who they are, to connect with other people and to enjoy the day and fellowship with one another.
Amazing, that sounded really good, and I think just about not ruined by that lawnmower. Guys, have an amazing Pride, and it's been great to meet you. Hey you, we are Toby Lawrence and Alex Baker, and
hello.
We're in Michigan. We're by the pool, the system is pumping.
The sun's out.
It's lovely. We're here at the Dunes Resort as well in Michigan, and we're going to grab Mike to talk to. Mike, this is your place, right?
Yes, absolutely. Been here for 20 years.
Tell us a little bit about how the little gay scene here started a life.
Back in the early 1900s, the summer school for the Chicago Institute of Art opened a school here, and it's kind of had a gay influence since around 1901. Over the years, the town has gone from pretty gay heavy to bikers to back to the art crowd to the hippies in the 60s. There's always been a gay presence, and the previous owner started this place in 1981, and we took over about 20 years ago. So
amazing. So how do you think, kind of from when the Dunes first started out in the 80s to where it is now, how do you think it's kind of evolved and changed with the times?
Well, I think it's become a lot more inclusive. When it first started, it was very much a gay and lesbian resort. But as the times have changed, and we're become a lot more straight-friendly maybe than we used to be back in the 80s.
Which is nice. That's kind of what we're working for, really.
Absolutely. I mean, it's fun to see gays and lesbians bring their family and their friends here. And people still just say, can I come to the Dunes if I'm not gay? And, you know, if you can breathe, you're welcome to come to the Dunes.
And also, just tell us about some of the amazing things that go on at the Dunes Resort, like the kind of events you put on, the kind of facilities that you have here.
Sure. The Dunes is open 12 months a year, but obviously we're very seasonal. But we do a lot of events, Memorial Day through Labor Day, 4th of July, Labor Day, Memorial Day is our busy holidays. We bring in big name DJs like Toni Morrison and Paulo and Hector Fonseca, Barry Harris, really a big group of the top-notch DJs that travel the country and internationally as well.
Yeah.
We also do a lot of events that are aimed towards specific segments within the LGBT community. We do bear weekends and lesbian weekends and transgender weekends. So we try to be inclusive to everyone all the time, but then we give each of our kind of niche groups a weekend of their own to celebrate.
That's nice.
Just walking through the Dunes Resort for the first time, the thing that my eye was drawn to instantly was this amazing, like, terrace bar that you have outside. Can you just tell me a little bit more about that and the sort of events that you guys put on there? And
well, we're kind of almost a little British because we like ourselves a good tea.
Exactly. what, English breakfast or Darjeeling?
Maybe more Long Island iced tea than Earl Grey. So the Dunes has been famous forever for its Sunday tea dances. And so we do a Sunday tea starting in mid-May through the end of October. So every Sunday from 4 to 9 o'clock, it's an excuse to meet your friends, listen to some good music, and dance outside. Rain or shine, hot or cold, we have tea dance, and you know that tea is going on if it's Sunday.
All right, so it's at the moment, just to paint a little picture, we're almost having our own private pool party here. There's a handful of us here. Just paint us a little picture in words of what this place is like on your busiest weekend of the year.
So the biggest, best pool day of the year is called Porn at the Pool. And we do that on the Sunday over the 4th of July holiday. And so imagine about 500 half-naked men and women all listening to, this year they'll be listening to Roland Balmaris.
Okay.
We'll have a couple Falcon porn stars here giving away stuff and dancing and doing all kinds of crazy stuff that, as long as it's legal, they can do.
Obviously.
I'll be booking my ticket now.
Yeah, right. It's a pretty crazy day. But then again, the Dunes is known for Sunday teas. We also have a cabaret, so we have live entertainment every weekend. We have a main dance floor that's open every weekend as well with a DJ. We have strippers, we have karaoke, we have drag shows. You name it, you can find it.
Mike in the Dunes Resort, been amazing to chat to you, and maybe catch you at some point as well throughout our little time here, but it's been good talk.
Well, it's been nice to meet you guys, and maybe we'll have a Long Island iced tea up in the bar.
Yes. Sounds good. Thank you very much. Hey, hey, hope you're alright. This is Gadio in Michigan. We're Alex Baker and Toby Lawrence.
Hello.
You can probably hear there's a lot of hubbub going on because we are at Uncommon Coffee Roasters down here. And owner guy Stephen's here. Morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
We've had the best start today so far because we've had some amazing coffee and also some breakfasty bits. Just tell us a little bit about where we are today and how it came to be.
You are visiting us at our sort of, I call it the mothership. This is where everything started. This is Uncommon Coffee Roasters at 127 Hoffman Street, Saugatuck, Michigan. And I'm Stephen, co-owner, master roaster and baker and candlestick maker. We started the coffee house in 1994. We began roasting coffee and trying to distinguish ourselves from other products that were out there. And we now roast for over 230 other coffee shops, bagel shops, restaurants, churches, hotels, where people kind of get it that their customer is seeking a better product than what you would open in those little aluminum pouches.
Maybe no names.
Never kiss and tell.
What would you say, like, the kind of community is like down here in Saugatuck in terms of diversity, the different sorts of people that you see coming in here. What makes here such a great place to have a coffee shop?
Well, yeah, I fell in love with this little village coming here on a weekend from Chicago, having lived in Chicago. The minute I came here, I fell in love with the atmosphere. It had a sophistication. It had a wilderness. It was amazing how all of those things kind of meld together in such a tiny town of only 1,000 people. And just decided to take that leap of faith and open the cafe, and the rest is history, really.
I mean, we've wandered past some of the stuff you've got on the shelves, and there is a Pride-themed coffee roast. Is that even the right word?
Yes, that is what we decided to do. We became LGBT certified and because we wanted to target our community, because there really weren't any companies that we knew of who were actually doing that. And what a great place to do it is here in Saugatuck, where it is such a diverse place. I was mentioning what a small town it is, only 1,000 people. And there are many, many gay-owned businesses here. And it was that way right away from when I first moved here in 1994, with its, you know, with its reputation to come here and resort. It just was a very, very welcoming community. People accepted me with open arms, being black and gay. It was a wonderful place of acceptance here. All of the, a lot of the high school kids sort of have been brought up with that notion of being open. So I think that gave this little village a head start on more acceptance, and thus that's why there's so many gay-owned businesses in town here.
Kristen Armstrong, Executive Director at the Saugatuck Center for the Arts. So concerts are year-round. We do small 55-seat like boutique concerts in the summer where we have Americana or indie groups in there on Monday nights, like $15 tickets, so real fun, easy little thing. We do documentaries monthly, so we're rotating film. We do things for children, as well as a screening of adult films. That sounds crazy. films for older audiences. All this Saugatuck adult films would probably work too. This center is used for a lot of things in the community, and I think also the engagement part is part of our role is to maybe be curating conversations about topics that are of interest or should be talked about. So whether it's immigration or LGBT, that's the type of things that we would curate conversations so people could have broader discussion about that in kind of a community setting. So we do that type of things too.
We've just sat through a fab jazz hands, all hands on deck rehearsal for Mamma Mia upstairs. Tell us how a production here in Saugatuck of something like that, that's been on Broadway, been on the West End, toured around the world, how do you make it different here to this audience?
I think what's great about our little 400-seat theater is that it is a 400-seat theater. So Mamma Mia is a great example. We've all seen it, probably seen it twice. But I always say to people, did you see it in the fifth row? I doubt it. Yeah. And our seats are what you're going to pay for crazy balcony seats someplace else, right? So you can come see a professional Broadway caliber show for $49.
Woo!
Right? I know. Also, when you buy a show, they do not dictate choreography. So the choreography you'll see in our show, it did not happen in the Broadway show. We've got more. So not only do you have, I think, the intimacy and all of that sound just really bathes you in. It is an experience when you're in this theater. Is there a man out there? Someone to hear my
prayer? I'm Michael Andrews, Executive and Creative Director of Oxbow. Oxbow is a 108-year-old art school on 115 acres in West Michigan, and we do everything from technical craft-based courses to content-driven, conceptual, wacky courses and everything in between.
It's got a real kind of outdoorsy, arts and crafty vibe.
Yes, so the original building on the property was a Travelers Inn. Boats used to come from Lake Michigan through this little river, and travelers would stay here, but through a series of events, the channel became inaccessible and the inn was abandoned. In late 1800s, two artists from Chicago were teaching classes in the area, got a tip that this beautiful abandoned inn was available.
Now, up until that point, that sounds like the start of a horror movie or something really scary, but that's not what happened.
And there's definitely no ghosts here. No ghosts at all. And that's, so they moved here, they moved their classes here and took over in 1910. There's several classes happening right now. This class that we're looking at, this is the Exploded Paints.
And in terms of like, you know, do you have any kind of like well-known alumni from the campus here?
The one story that we love telling is there was a guy in town, his name was Bert Tilstrom. Mm-hmm. And Bert Tilstrom was a puppeteer. And Bert trained lots of different puppeteers, and notably Jim Henson.
Oh,
and
wow.
The theory is that there was a puppet workshop here. And the story is that this is where Jim Henson came up with Kermit the Frog.
Ah, that's amazing.
Well, of course, we're by the water, so that just totally makes sense, mm-hmm. doesn't it?
The guys we spoke to at the Dunes Resort where we're staying, which is sort of like a hop, skip and a jump away, not that far away, but right. I think we've come so far down a sort of woodland track to get here. I feel like we've literally jumped across the other side of the universe. They were saying that a lot of the arts population is certainly what started to drive the diversity and difference in maybe way of thinking and mindset that's helped make this a really inclusive place to be now over literally sort of a century or so.
Mm-hmm.
How does that fit in with the school here?
I would definitely argue that the presence of the school in this particular community made this community maybe more tolerant than other communities in the area.
You can hear it's a bit windy. Why is that?
Well, we're right by a lake, weirdly.
No, I know we're by a lake. The driver dude said we're by the lake. Producer Ellen said we're by a lake. I'm looking out at this. That's the sea, mate.
It literally looks like it's just a beautiful beach. The sun is setting, and it just looks amazing. And considering this is, not even a sea. I don't know what, it's completely blown my mind.
I wish I'd turned on the recording thing literally 30 seconds earlier, because in the car, as we drove up to the sea, it's definitely a sea, I'm being told lies, as we drove up to the sea, there was just like, it's like an E.T. phone home moment.
Very much E.T., yeah.
So this great lake here, Lake Michigan, as I can stand on the edge of it, I can't see a thing but water as far as the eye can see. Now, Toby and I live on the south coast of the UK. When you look out to sea, you can definitely see stuff, can't you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've got like a little wind farm that we can see from like Brighton Beach, but this is just nothing but water all the way up to the horizon. Beautiful sunset. I mean, it's so scenic and idyllic and just beautiful.
That was actually me lost for words there for about 10 seconds. I don't think that's ever happened in like 15 years of being a professional gobby type person. Look, should we do 5 words to sum up what I guess is proper day one here in Michigan? You can go first because I'm mean.
I would say fun, friendly, scenic. Why can't you just do 3?
Let's settle for 3. I'm going to go for surprising, green, and absolutely blooming welcoming. There you go, I got 5.
Oh, well done you.